Thanks so much for listening. Before I get into the episode, I wanted to thank today's podcast sponsor, which is Coda Luna and their baby keepsake castle. I personally just put all of my baby's memorabilia into these little keepsake castle boxes, and they are so adorable, functional, and if you really love organization, then you're really going to love this keepsake box. So not only is it a keepsake box, but it also includes a baby book, and it has space for capturing all of the milestones of your baby's early years. And then the keepsake box itself stores all of the memorabilia that you want to keep. So baby's first socks and pacifier and the little hat that they wore when they came home from the hospital. So this keepsake castle with the baby memory book is more than just an organizational product. It's a gateway to preserving the remarkable journey of new parenthood. So take a moment to visit keepsakecastle.com today and embark on creating a lasting legacy of love and nostalgia. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. In today's show, we're going to be talking about nourishing your postpartum body with herbs. Our guest to discuss this is Sarah Marie Miller, and she is a postpartum doula, clinical herbalist, nutritionist, artist, and podcast host of Time in the Studio podcast. She's passionate about supporting womb wellness and focusing on boosting perinatal wellness with nourishment, rest, creativity, and self-compassion. She's also an overnight doula and a baby whisperer and is great at helping newborns learn to sleep better. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Oh my gosh. Hi, Amanda. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. It's so nice to talk to you again.
Oh, such a delight to hear your voice. And thank you so much for having me on your show. I loved getting to chat with you on Time in the Studio, my podcast. And it was so fun to share your wisdom. And I know people really loved everything you had to say there. So I'm just so honored and delighted to be here today with you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm excited. I'm really excited about our topic. I always am interested in nutrition and food and how it nourishes the body and how it's so impactful, especially during the postpartum period. But before we dive into that, will you please give people a little bit of background about you and where you're from and your family?
My name is Sarah Marie Miller, and I'm an artist, herbalist, nutritionist, and postpartum doula and educator living on the lands of the Arapaho, Ute, and Cheyenne Nations, also known as Boulder, Colorado. And my background, I grew up on a farm in North Dakota, and I always suffered with chronic health issues through my life, and I noticed I was called to plants and to working with food at a young age, but really dove into herbalism maybe 7 years ago and started studying it more in depth. And plants and nutrition have the potential to really heal at a deep cellular level. And I've been able to work with some families and birthing people and be able to see how nutrition can transform their health, nutrition and sleep as well. But using herbs and food and nutrition just can make a world of difference. Like, I kind of suspect a lot of underlying health issues, like if there's struggles with nursing or with adrenal fatigue or postpartum depression, a lot of things, sometimes food can help resolve those issues. It's not always a perfect fix, but sometimes it can make a big shift in people's lives. So I'm just really passionate about food and nutrition and herbs and the ways that we can work with those things to heal ourselves and to heal our families and to be more vibrant and resilient and thrive in the world and to be, you know, enjoy our families and be able to do the work that we're meant to do in the world. So I'm really passionate about that. I think because my mother struggled with a lot of food issues, with emotional eating, and I just saw how she wasn't supported in her postpartum with me or my brother. And I mean, I didn't see it from an adult perspective, but now looking back, I can just see how if she had been supported differently, it would have transformed her health journey as well. So I think seeing the way that my mother and my grandmother have struggled, it makes me passionate about supporting birthing people and families and just helping people get more resources and really be nourished at a cellular level, because I think that ancestral medicine of just eating whole, nourishing, complete foods, like doing things that our ancestors would recognize, I think can be really transformative and just drop us into healing our lineage and healing our own bodies so that we can really support our own life and the life that continues to carry on, you know, the generations that flow through the ages. So I think, food has just been so transformative for me. And it's not, you know, it's different for each person. The right solutions for each person are always different. But some things that I find really wonderful, especially right after postpartum, are nice warming spices, healthy fats like coconut milk. One thing that I love to make for postpartum mamas is golden milk. And I find that can be really helpful because it's just very nice and anti-inflammatory. It also helps to just give the body healthy fats, because that's so crucial. You know, as if a birthing person is nursing, their nutritional needs are the same or more as when they were pregnant. But oftentimes people don't realize that, and so they'll stop taking their prenatal vitamins or their omega-3 fatty acids. But, you know, the baby, if you're nursing, the baby is pulling nutrients from your body. So it's so important to make sure you're getting everything that you need. And I also just want to recognize that there are food deserts. There are, you know, healthy food is more costly and more expensive. And I know just going to the grocery store lately, like seeing, I feel like my grocery bill has doubled in the last few months. Like, it's just like, oh my God, somehow food has just skyrocketed in price. So I just want to recognize and acknowledge that that's not always easy to get healthy, nourishing food, and it's not equally accessible to all people. But just to recognize that that sometimes can make a difference. So I'm always looking for simple ways that people can increase their nutrient densities. Oh yes. So if you're making coconut milk, you can just have a little bit of coconut milk. I usually do equal portions of a can of coconut milk with water. And then you could add a little shake of turmeric, some cinnamon, and some ginger. You could do a little black pepper, a little bit of licorice if there's no high blood pressure. And that can just be really nice and supportive and delicious. Shatavari, if you have access to an apothecary, a little sprinkle of shatavari powder. It translates into She of a Thousand Husbands, shatavari. And it's this beautiful female tonic that both helps to give your body more energy and also helps you to sleep better. It helps drop you into the parasympathetic realm. So oftentimes I see postpartum, our nervous systems are just like so tender, and it's such a delicate, precious time. And there's just so much that happens that your body needs to experience and kind of recover from and just rest in this time, because it's just, yeah, it's such a profound and intense moment. And so I find shatavari can be a wonderful postpartum herb for just helping that nervous system to soothe and calm, and helps with the uterine tissues just to come back into alignment and to be more, feel more supported and held and vibrant. It gives a little bit of boost of energy. It doesn't have any caffeine or anything, but just a really subtle and sweet, delicious adaptogen. So shatavari can be a wonderful herb for anyone really, but I especially in postpartum I find it to be really lovely. A couple other herbs that I love postpartum, raspberry leaf is fantastic for really any stage, particularly in the third trimester and the fourth trimester, just for helping the womb kind of gather itself and come back into alignment, and for that uterine tone. It's also delicious and tastes like eating raspberries to some extent. It has a little bit of a fruity note to it, slightly tannic, and just such a beautiful plant. And I'm so lucky, I'm in Colorado, and I just went on a hike into the mountains the other day with my partner, and the hillsides were just full of wild raspberries. And so I was eating wild raspberries and raspberry leaf, and it was just such a beautiful experience. So I think anytime if birthing people are able to be in nature too, that is such medicine. Rest is medicine, and being in nature is such medicine as well. Another plant that I love postpartum is motherwort. So this is a plant I definitely do not suggest during pregnancy, because it has a strong, can have a strong uterine emmenagogue action. So it's just kind of moving energy in the uterus. If someone is trying to induce a labor, sometimes it can help a little bit, but I don't suggest it until after postpartum. But then it can be really supportive also for that postpartum anxiety that's so natural, and I just want to normalize that, because sometimes I think people feel like that hypervigilance, that like hyper awareness of your environment, and that can sometimes look like anxiety, is so normal. And so I just want to, you know, let people know that that's oftentimes a normal part of a postpartum experience, and there are ways that we can work with plants that are natural relaxants, natural gentle nutrient dense relaxants, so that we can find a more balanced way of acknowledging any dangers or anything that you need to be aware of, but also being relaxed and in tune with what you need, what your family needs, what your new baby may need. And so, yeah, a few of those plants are motherwort, I love, and then shatavari. Chamomile is so lovely. I adore chamomile. It's antifungal, it's antibacterial, it's a mild pain reliever, it's a nervine, so it soothes your nervous system. I mean, if I could only have one plant in my apothecary, in my kitchen, it would be chamomile, because it's just so gentle. It's wonderful for a colicky baby. You know, even if the mother drinks some chamomile tea, they say some of that can transfer through the breast milk and can help soothe baby's digestive system. It's great for, it's great for mothers and helping to sleep better, because sleep is such an issue, you know. Oftentimes, even if someone comes to support you and help you and you want to take a nap, sometimes it's hard to take a nap because your nervous system is just alive, and your cortisol's flowing and adrenaline is flowing, and it's just, in order to take care of the baby, there's so much that happens. And so I find chamomile can be really wonderful to just be able to drop in, relax a little bit more, take care of baby, tend to yourself. It can be great for skin irritations as well. So oftentimes just, you know, you can put a little bit in like a reusable muslin bag and use it in the bath on your skin or on baby's skin. The one caveat with chamomile, I do like to let people know, it's part of the Asteraceae family. And so there is a very small percentage of people in the world that are allergic to Asteraceae and chamomile. So, you know, with plants, there's never a guarantee. It's always a relationship. And navigating, like, is this a plant that I want to get to know better? Is this a plant that we work together with? You know, it's kind of like friends in life. Like there's people you click with and you're like, yeah, oh my God, I just want to hang out with this person more. And then there's other people where it's like, oh, okay, maybe we don't need to hang out quite as much. Like, so, you know, I think plants are like that too. There's plants that are definitely our allies that we really can connect deeply with and get to know better. And then there's other plants that are like, they're maybe not for us. So, you know, speaking of motherwort, like I know so many people love that plant and it's very bitter and it's an acquired taste. And so some people are like, I can't, I do not want to do motherwort. It's just too much for me. So I'm like, okay, great. Like we'll find another friend, like oat straws, another ally that I love for family members, really of any age. It's so gentle. It's really soothing. It's a tropho restorative for the nervous system. So it helps to restore our nerves. And it's just so delicious, very nutritive. You know, even, you know, if you can't get oat straw, you can play with a different part of the plant, like oats, you know, just eating oatmeal. I find oatmeal can be really wonderful in postpartum, and seaweed as well. I love making soups with seaweed. And oh, another thing that I've found really helpful for families is making herbal sprinkles. So in this case, I just take herbs, powder them, and then put them in a little food shaker. So you could do, like, one of my favorite blends is nettles. But yeah, food sprinkles can be so supportive for people just as a really easy way to add some nutrient density. So you could do, you know, one part nettle, one part alfalfa, one part seaweed. You could add, you know, those plants don't have very strong flavors, so you could pretty much sprinkle them on anything just to add a little bit more, you know, lots of vitamins and minerals. I kind of think of nettles as like a herbal multivitamin, because oftentimes if we're missing any foundational nutrients, our system starts to kind of get a little bit uncomfortable. And so it shifts to the left or to the right, and it doesn't always know how to compensate for that, those missing minerals. Like magnesium is primary. I find most people have a deficiency of magnesium, and it's needed for over 300 functions in the body. And so that is the number one thing. If people can add more food that has magnesium or a magnesium supplement, magnesium malate in particular, I find to be really supportive for the nervous system and for if there's muscle tension, or headaches, magnesium malate, I find to be really therapeutic and make a huge difference. Like oftentimes just adding in that can really change the health picture for someone. But food sprinkles are a great way to do that too. So yeah, you can just add in, again, alfalfa, nettles, seaweed. You could add in some calendula to add a little color. I like to add in purple basil. I've been doing purple basil and calendula salt. So you just take some herbs with some salt. You could do fresh herbs from your garden. This is a great way to use herbs from your garden. You could just throw your herbs with about an equal portion of salt into your food processor and pulse that until it's, almost like a sandy consistency. And then you can either dry it in the oven or dry it on your countertops, just on a cookie sheet. If you're not drying it in a dehydrator or your oven, it usually takes about 2 to 3 days for it to fully dry. And you want to make sure it's totally dry before you put it in a jar. But then you can, you know, anytime you add salt, you're adding a little bit of delicious flavor and some more nutrient value as well. Calendula is fantastic because it's a great gut healer, very supportive for the liver. It's great for soothing the skin as well. So I love just nerding out in the kitchen and making things in the kitchen for myself and for friends and for family. And but yes, salts and sprinkles are two really easy ways to help increase nutrient density for people and bring in more plants and more biodiversity, because that's another thing that can really help our body is eating the rainbow, eating a variety of things, so that you're eating things that are red and purple and orange and yellow and green, and, you know, really eating so many different things makes a world of difference for our gut microbiome and our spirit. You know, it just looks beautiful. If you can add more color to your plate, I think the majority of Americans, they say eat about 5 to 7 different plants in a year. And that's mostly like corn, wheat, soy, rice. If we can add in other things like purple basil or red cabbage or more cucumbers, fresh tomatoes from our garden, basil, lemon balm is a beautiful plant, or rose petals, you know, especially if we can work with organic plants, ideally, so that we're really supporting the planet and supporting our own bodies. That is my favorite thing to see. So yes. I'm just so excited about offering this upcoming course, where I'm going to be sharing plant medicine and plant magic, how to create more plant magic and connect to more plant magic in your life. So in that course, we're going to be learning how to make salts, sprinkles, vinegars, syrups, honeys, soup stocks, you know, really making food your medicine, infused oils. Yeah, I'm just so excited to share with people how to make food their medicine, and then also how to make their own non-toxic skincare. Like, there's an all-over oil that I love to make. I just take olive oil, or you could do coconut oil or sesame oil or a blend of all three. You know, you can look at your different Ayurvedic doshas to see what oils are best for you. We'll talk about that a little bit in the course too, but you know, just taking an oil and infusing it with even one plant, like Tulsi basil, dried Tulsi basil in an oil base is so wonderful for the skin and smells amazing. You could do calendula or rose petals. I love rose, or lavender. But I love infusing herbs in oil, and you could use that for a salad dressing or for your food or on your body or on your hair. Like, I just love making these all over oils that are good for anything, like inside or out, totally non-toxic and just safe for all uses. And then I also love working with flower essences. That's been such a incredible medicine that I've used to help heal my chronic illness, and that I oftentimes make flower essence remedies for new mamas and for birthing people and families and even pets. Sometimes I'll make a flower essence if there's a family that brings home a new baby and the dog is really jealous. I've made a flower essence for the dog that, you know, you can work with holly flower essence, and it helps reduce feelings of jealousy, which oftentimes can come up in siblings or partners or with pets. You know, there's just such a shift when you bring a baby home. There's so many new things that everyone needs to adjust to, and it's a different, you know, your attention so is directed towards baby. And suddenly it's not directed towards the partner or towards the sibling. Like, it's a shift. So holly flower essence, I find, is so helpful for reducing any feelings of jealousy or resentment towards this new little one, and just really helps to usher in more feelings of love and deep connection. So flower essences I find to be really supportive. Another one that oftentimes makes sense in postpartum is red chestnut. So that's an essence that helps to make sure your cup is full, so that you're not overgiving to other people, because that is something that is just, it happens, and it, you know, part of that, it needs to happen. Like, you have to, you know, make sure your little one is alive, but you also have to make sure that you are getting the nutrition you need and the support that you need and the sleep that you need and, you know, tending to yourself. And so red chestnut is amazing at making sure your cup is full, your air mask is on before you try to take care of other people. And so it really helps you to be able to serve your family and your community in a much deeper way because you're fully resourced. So I love red chestnut. And then another one that I see be really helpful is aspen. Aspen, you know, if you have ever been able to be in a grove of aspen trees and hear their leaves fluttering around you, it's just so deeply resourcing. It just makes you feel all is safe and well in the world. Like, and you can feel, you know, these aspen trees are so connected. They, you know, they communicate underground through their root system and through the, you know, just the way that they are connected together. They're always communicating to each other and tending to each other. And so aspen is for fear. If there's any sense of fear or worry of anything, you know, just if you're worried about the state of the world or the state of your health or your family, or I just find to feel more at ease in the world and more relaxed, that is the gift that aspen brings, is to really help us to feel more connected to each other, to ourselves, and to feel comfortable and at ease. And it just eliminates fear. You know, when we're operating from fear, we tend to spin out. We tend to not do things that are that helpful. You know, I found this a few weeks ago, or maybe it was a month ago or so, when Roe v. Wade was overturned, I was so just distraught and scared about the world and what's going to happen. And I think, you know, there's still so much work that needs to be done, but I find aspen just brought in the sense of like, okay, I'm here for it. I'm here for the work. I'm here to support myself and my family and my communities and the plants and this planet. Like, I am here for the work and I feel safe to do this work. And, you know, I think then we can really operate from the place that we're meant to, you know, and do the work that we're meant to do on this planet when we feel at ease. And we also are more accepting of other people. You know, we can listen to someone else's viewpoint without immediately dismissing it. We can be like, okay, that's, you know, that's maybe not how I feel at all, but I can hear you and I can appreciate who you are for who you are, and not be scared of differences, but to really embrace how we're different from one another and how we can support each other in all of our differences. You know, I think that's something that the plants show us all the time. Like, you know, the three sisters, beans, sprouts, and corn, like they can, squash, beans, and corn, like they grow together in this beautiful harmony, and they're different from each other, and they all have different strengths and different weaknesses, and they can help to make each other thrive through that connection and through that work. So I love, I just love witnessing the plants and watching them and being around them and being able to share their beauty.
Oh man, well, you have such a breadth of knowledge about it, and thank you so much for sharing so much about your knowledge of plants and how they have such healing qualities, and you know, specific to this postpartum period and how they can be so helpful. If someone listening is like, this sounds really interesting, but I would have no idea where to get any of the things that you mentioned or how to pronounce them, or, you know, if they're kind of like very new to it, where would you send them?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I love, if you have a local apothecary, it's always great to visit a local apothecary. There's lots of herbalists that can support you there. I love Pacific Botanicals has beautiful herbs. You could also go to Mountain Rose Herbs to purchase herbs. High Garden Tea as well makes really beautiful herbal blends. Rebecca's Apothecary ships all over the U.S. and Canada and has phenomenal products. I work at Rebecca's part-time as an herbalist, and I love Rebecca. She used to be a doula and came into herbalism through the path of motherhood and parenting, and you know, she was a doula and helping other families initially, and then realized like, oh, I can help people through the plants and support a vast community that way. I'm also happy to help support. I have a podcast called Time in the Studio where I have lots of chats with creatives, herbalists, artists, birth workers. So it's kind of all about that connection to plants, creativity, and healing. And then I'm about to launch a course, an 8-week course. We'll dive deeper into all of this. And really learn about making food your medicine, making your own organic skincare products, and that will save you money and be non-toxic and beautiful, and also working with flower essences for mindset transformations and emotional support through whatever you're working through. And you can find me at Time in the Studio podcast or at my website, www.timeinthestudio.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And we'll be sure to link to where people can find your course as well in the show notes, as well as everything else that you had mentioned too. So thank you again for your time. I have loved this conversation.
Oh my gosh, Amanda, thank you so much. It was such an honor to be able to talk with you, and I really appreciate this time, and oh, it's such a delight to connect with you again. So thank you for having me on your show.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for listening to the show today. If you liked the episode and would like to hear more, please follow Finding Your Village wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to use the code FYVPODCAST to sign up for the postpartum class at pregnancytopreschool.net to save 15% today. Thank you so much, and stay safe, healthy, and connected.